They won't always be here. Shake hands with somebody and say, don't take it for granted. Now, I'm getting ready to go to the Word of God, and I want you to get your Bibles out and get your heart ready. You're watching over the internet. You got about 30 seconds to find the book of Ephesians. Amen. You got to find the book of Ephesians in a hurry, because we're going to work in the book of Ephesians this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In thee, O Lord, I put in thee, O Lord, I put my trust in be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be if you've been worried about something, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Glory. Hallelujah. Be still and know that I'll be still. If this is not about faith, the trying of your faith. How many of you are going through something where your faith is being tried? Every now and then I sing that song to remind myself that God is sovereign, that he is absolute, and that he is completely in control. My enemies are not in control. The naysayers are not in control. The next door neighbors are not in control. Even I am not in control. God is in control. You've been running here and there trying to figure out what to do. Be still. Ah, be still. Know that I am God. Know that I am God. Beside me, there is no other. Never been a God before me. There'll never be a God after me. I alone am God. I'm God over disease. I'm God over disaster. I'm God over trouble. I'm God over confusion. I'm God over physicalities and crisis and emotional mayhem. I'm God all by myself. Nobody elected me. Nobody appointed me. I'm God. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like having some church this morning. I'm God. Beside me there is no other. Glory to God. Whew. I'm sorry. I'm going to preach in a minute, but I got lost. I got lost. I got lost. I got lost just for a moment. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Not the job, not the bank, not the company, not the store, not the doctor's report, not the IRS, not the government, but thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Y'all didn't know I was going to teach you a song while you was over here, did you? Glory to God. Now, let's go to work. Ephesians 6:17. I have but one scripture to read. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Why would the helmet of salvation be important? I was going to preach something else, and the Lord confirmed it this morning. When I got up and turned on the news, we had yet another suspected beheading. And in the midst of that tragic news, it was also confirmation of what the Lord told me to tell you. God said, this is no time to tell you. God said, this is no time to lose your head. This is no time to lose your head. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you're going through something, but this is no time to lose your head. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Last Sunday you watered the seed. Let it bring forth abundance in the lives of your people. Thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord. Speak to your people. Speak to your people. Great God that you are. Speak in the lives of your people. Direct us, sovereign God of the universe. Have your way in this place. Move as only God can move. Heal as only God can heal. And touch as only God can touch. Whatever we lose, us name, somebody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and tells them to put on the whole armor of God because you are under attack. There is not a person in this room that is not constantly up under attack. No matter how blessed you've been, no matter how successful, no matter how accomplished, no matter how healthy, no matter how fruitful you are, somewhere in your life, you are either being attacked or about to be attacked in some area of your life. And God says, I'm going to bless you, but you've got to dress for the battle while you receive the blessing. With every blessing, there is a battle. I would venture to say the greater the blessing, the greater the battle. The enemy would not send that level of battle against you if the greater the blessing, the greater the battle. The enemy would not send that level of battle against you if there were not that level of blessing before you. The level of battle you face is an indication of the level of blessings that you stand to receive. No robber robbed lady because she doesn't have anything to steal. If you're up under attack, there's something to be gained. So the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, the wiles of the devil, the tactics, the antics of the devil. And then he says, once you get it all on, having done all to stand. See, you got all dressed up not to run. You got dressed up to stand, not to give place or territory to the devil, not to evacuate the turf that's yours. Did you hear that? Not to evacuate the turf that is yours. And he said, if you're going to hold on to what I have given you, because I have given you some things that you are yet to possess. And in order to possess what I've given you, to take it out of the euphoria of an idea and snatch it into the realm of a possession, you're going to have to stand. Having done all to stand. That's your willpower, your strength, your might, your intensity. Having done all to stand. The first stand belongs to you. You have to do that. Stop asking God to make you stand if you're not willing to stand. You have to have all to stand. You won't get to the second stand until you run out of the first one. Having done all to stand, then it says, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. And as he begins to equip us for battle, he comes down to the helmet of salvation. How important is it to protect your head? When the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for the pulling down of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for the pulling down of strongholds. Look at how we got to fight. For the pulling. Oh, you got it. Imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against what? The knowledge the knowledge of God. The high things that are coming against you are coming against what you know about God. You know you're healed. The symptoms come to convince you that you're not. You know you're free. You know you're healed. The symptoms come to convince you that you're not. You know you're free. I thought you did. Y'all know you're free? Okay. Y'all know you're free? The enemy comes against your freedom to convince you that you don't have what God has already released you. The Bible calls his attack imaginations. You're being fought by imaginations, shadows, and ghosts. Some of you are stressed to death over what ifs and maybes. You lay in the bed wrestling with ghosts of what ifs and maybes and suppose and I think and I heard and I felt, and you wake up tired in the morning because you might have slept but you didn't rest, because all in your sleep you've been fighting. The Bible says there is a helmet that will protect your head. Head speaks to leadership. Head speaks to government. Most people are living their lives from a heart place and not a head place. They are so engrossed with what the heart feels that they have not covered what the head thinks. Most people are governed by their emotions. They're having a heart experience in a battle. If you're having a heart experience in a head fight, you're telling the enemy how you feel has nothing to do with what you know. And if you're going to deal with a knower, never approach a knower with feelings. You got to approach a knower with facts. The enemy wants to cut off your head and leave you with feelings. Real decisions that move your life along are not coming out of your emotions, they're coming out of your head. Real opportunities that God would open up for you have to come out of your head and not out of your feelings. There are so many people that are so abstract, and they're just moving along from day to day out of their emotions and their fear. I don't know. I'm just not feeling it today. I'm just not feeling it today. Come back on Thursday. I might be feeling on Thursday. I'm not in the mood for this. I can't handle this. And every time you do it, you are canceling out opportunities, because it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. Not the dance, not the shouts, not holding your Bible up. Do you not know the apostles did all of their mighty acts and had never read a Bible? They had never read a Bible. They were writing it. They hadn't read it. It hadn't been canonized. It hadn't been put together. They had to go off of what they knew. They had to go off of what they know. Paul couldn't read Ephesians. He wrote it. He had to go by what he knew. So the word was in his heart, not in his hand. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You got to know it. You got to know it. It has to leap off that not sin against you. You got to know it. You got to know it. It has to leap off the page and become a part of your consciousness. You have to know. You have to know that you know. See, some of you are not blessed, not because God is not blessing you, but you don't stand on the blessing and you don't know it, so you can't receive it. The enemy is pushing you back off of stuff that is rightfully yours. Because it's a head thing. It's a head thing. You're in a head fight. You're in a head button contest with the devil. what he's saying against what you know it is how the fight started in the garden, is how Jesus whipped him in the wilderness, is how you're going to defeat him in the hospital, is how you're going to get out of debt. He's going to be talking about what he thinks, and you have to come back with what you know. A person who does not function out of their head is a person without government. A person who moves totally out of their emotions is exempt from the greater opportunity than life, because you will forfeit what God has given you because of how you feel. What God has given you because of how you feel. God did not promise you that your feelings would line up with the facts. You got to have the facts or you can't do it. I was talking to some of my team, and we were having a conversation, and I said to them, anybody who really knows me, very, very, they get in arguments over there, who knows me the best? They don't know me. They were having an argument amongst themselves over who knew me the best, and it was a staff issue, and I've been here longer, and I knew him, and I grew up with him, and I swam in the pool with him. I ate fish and cornbread, and I know he likes raisins in his oatmeal. I know him. I know what he wants. I know that I've been here the longest. I can move him because I've been around a long time. I said, anybody who said that doesn't know me. You don't know me at all, because I never make a business know me. You don't know me at all, because I never make a business decision from an emotional place. Never. Never. I can love you till your heart busts, but business is business. Business is business. To compartmentalize how you feel from what you lead is what makes great leadership exist in the first place. There's nothing worse than following a schizophrenic leader. Where are we going? Are we going to Kroger's? No, I think I might go to Kmart. No, I don't know. Why don't we go to Walmart? Where do you want to go? What do you think about it? I don't feel like going. Oh, wait a minute. Make a decision. Make a decision. Because you are literally riding a headless horse. How many of us are living a headless? How many of us are living a headless? Because we have not separated how we feel from what we know. You can't work with people like that. You really can't work with people like that, because if I criticize your work, it doesn't you. And to have to babysit your feelings, when I don't have time to babysit your feelings, I need you to correct the problem and go back to work. It's not personal if you do it right. Isn't that what God told Cain? Why is thy countenance fallen? Isn't that what God told Cain? Why is thy countenance fallen, Cain? Why are you tripping out about this stuff? Why are you jealous of Abel? If thou doest not well, will I not receive you? He said, I'm not against you, Cain. I'm against what you did. And if you fix what you did, I'll bless you like I bless them. So stop tripping, Cain. Get your heart out of the way of your head, and I will move you forward. I know that's culture shock to a lot of you. You've gotten out of your feelings. But let me tell you, the devil is not fighting you over your feelings. He is fighting you over your head. He is giving you images and imaginations and threats of disaster to send your head into a panic mode so that you will digress mentally from the leadership that the rest of you needs. It has to come from the facts and not the feelings. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. It is written. Not one time do you hear Jesus saying, I'm so hungry, devil. I'm so hungry. This is one time. Let me turn this stone to bread. Because a brother like me got all kind of rumblings going on in my stomach like here. I've been out here 40 days. Devil, you know, 40 days. You ought to have a little compassion on me. He did not approach the devil with feelings because the devil has no compassion. Headless. Whatever you do, don't lose your head. Pull your feelings out of it. Pull your insecurities out of it, your vulnerabilities. Those childhood voices that come back to attack you the rest of your life are the tools that the devil uses to cause you to digress from what God created you to be and stand on what you know. But the helmet of salvation, because when the enemy gets ready to attack you, the first place he's going to go for is your head. He's going to go for your head. Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, he's coming after your head. You're in a head-butting contest with the devil right now. And your head has to be hard. Put on the helmet of salvation so your head is hard enough to put it up against what's standing in your way and fight your way out of it. You can't be soft-headed and you're up under attack. Put the helmet. Good God. Put the helmet of salvation. Glory to God. Touch three people and say, cover your head. Cover your head. Cover your head. Cover your thoughts, cover your imaginations, cover the words that are coming into your mind, cover what you're saying to yourself. What you are saying to yourself determines whether you win or lose. If the woman with the issue of blood would have said to herself, well, I'm broke, I run out of doctors, I'm tired, I'm lonely, I haven't been loved, I haven't been held for 12 years. Been 12 years since I've been with my husband. Been 12 years since I could touch my children. Been 12 years. I've been unclean for 12 years. I might as well die. I've been bleeding for 12 years. I might as well die. If she'd have said that, she'd have died. Instead, she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. What you say to yourself has all the world to do with how far you can go. I'm challenging you to change the way you talk to you. To change the way you talk to you. In the original Greek language, it says that she said over and over again, all while she was crawling, if I may but touch, 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 if I may. The solidarity of her confession over and over and over and over and over and over again brought about her deliverance. I will never forget being in the car with my sister on the west side of Charleston, when I looked over to her with my sister, on the west side of Charleston, when I looked over to her and I said to her, I'm not going to be broke anymore. And she said, what do you mean, Tommy? I said, I don't like you. Now, didn't that sound stupid? That sounds crazy to somebody, you know, who does like being broke? I didn't like it. I didn't receive it. I didn't accept it. I tried it on. It didn't fit me. It didn't fit me. It didn't fit me. It wasn't designed for me. I wasn't supposed to be running around there asking them for some food and some milk and some wick. Maybe somebody else, that was their future. But I said, I may be broke right now, but I will not stay broke. This is not. Jesus said, Paul said, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. Cover your head. High five somebody and tell them, I got this. You can't get it till you got it. You can't get it till you got it. Give it in your hand till you got it in your head. And the man taketh. This is no time to lose your head. This is no time to lose your head and acquiesce to the mundane, childish feelings and emotions that are saboteurs to your destiny. Nobody who ever ran the Olympics and trained and worked out and finished and crossed the finish line effectively got there because they felt like working out. Your feelings will never cooperate with your dreams. Beat your feelings into captivity, because when you beat your feelings into captivity, that is what discipline is. The reason it's taken you so long and you wandered in the wilderness over and over, going around and around the same thing, is because you have not given God anything to anoint. Because the anointing falls on the head. They didn't hear it. Maybe y'all heard it. The anointing falls on the head. Behold, the Bible said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that fall upon the what? Head of Aaron, and then to the beards, and then to the skirts. When God sends the anointing, the first drop will always fall on your head. When Samuel was looking for a king to succeed Saul, he filled a horn full of oil and he raised it to the head. And every head that it passed by that the oil didn't flow, he knew that was not king. When he brought the oil didn't flow, he knew that was not king. When he brought the, hear what I'm saying. This is no time to lose your head. God's not going to anoint your feet. God's not going to anoint your checkbook. God's not going to anoint your hands before he anoints your head. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's why I'm trying to work on your children. I want to get their head right. If I get their head right, the dope dealer can't take them. If I get their head right, the child abuser can't abuse them. If I get their head right, the child abuser can't abuse them. If I get their head right, you won't have to worry about who they're dating at date rape, because that girl will know who she is and she'll say, wait a minute. You ain't gonna get me tonight. You gonna bump this helmet. Swipe somebody and say, come. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, back in chapter verse 1, speaking about Eli, the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. The word of the Lord was scarce in those days, and there was no open vision. Eli was living, but he was losing his head. Eli was living, but he was losing his head. Vision comes from your head. Word is spoken out of your mouth, which is in your head. The word was scarce. The kingdom was collapsing because of what was empty in the head had destroyed the success of the kingdom, of the priesthood, of the sanctity of the ministry, because the priesthood was headless. Sexuality was running amok. Hophni and Phinehas were going through the church, going through the women, like a fox going through a hen house, because the place was headless. Eli was not strong enough to chasten his own child was not strong enough to chasten his own child, because his emotions were leading and not his head. Oh, it's going to be rough in here today. The word of the Lord was scarce in those days. The Bible said there was no open vision. And ultimately, when everything was said and done, they went out to fight against the Philistines. And they were defeated. And he could have withstood that. Hophni was killed, his son. He could have withstood that. Phinehas was killed as well. He could have withstood that. But when they told him that the glory of the Lord was departed, he fell off his throne. And of all things, he broke his neck. His head came off. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The last little piece of government fell off. And whenever you see the head fell off, and whenever you see the head come off, there is a shift of authority. Eli lost his head. Samuel comes to a place of prominence because the head, the decapitation of the head, is the removal of the government. Are you a kingdom without a king? Are you so busy managing the emotional relationships that you have that you don't have the energy to think the thoughts you need to think to go where you need to go? Are you so busy managing your feelings and the feeling of the people around you and trying to make them feel what you feel and need what you need and want what you want that you're not making progress in life? Because you are leading with your heart and not with your head. Are you getting off schedule because your heart keeps interrupting what your head has decided? How many times has your heart led you back into danger? Oh, it's going to be quiet this morning, Lord. They're not going to talk to me this morning, Lord. I got to preach it anyway, Lord. Yes, sir. I'm going to preach it anyway. Because if I can save one person from losing their head, it will be worth the whole day to reach one person. You're going to come out head first. That's how you came into the world. Head first. You came out head first. And you're going to come out of your attack head first. You're the prodigal son. You're in the hog pen. You're not going to walk out of the hog pen till you think out of the hog pen. The Bible said he came to himself and said. See, when you come to yourself and you get your government back, how it changes your confession. I will arise and go to my father's house. I ain't going to be broke no more. When you come to yourself, you say, I may be in the hog pen, but I'm not from the hog pen. I'm coming out of the hog pen. I'm better than this. I'm better than this. How many servants in my father's house? Look at how his conversation starts to change as his head got in place. Look at how progress only happened when he got his head in place. You can't cry your way out. You can't fuss your way out. You can't fuss your way out. You done snapped your neck 4 or 5 times and it didn't change your life. The definition of lunacy is to keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So why? If flipping out on her isn't working, why are you still doing it? If giving him a piece of your mind hadn't worked in the first 15 years, wouldn't it be a good time now to change strategies? Why are we loyal to ineffectiveness? Why are we loyal with ineffectiveness? We date effectiveness, but we marry ineffectiveness. We visit effectiveness for the weekend, on a Sunday, in a motivational message, in a special television show. We love to visit it, but we are married to habits that are ineffective, and we are loyal to things that we know don't work, but because this is how I feel. Take unto you the helmet of salvation. Eli lost his head and the power shifted and the world changed. And whenever that which was will come to power. Lost his head. They say, Ichabod, the glory has departed. I guess it did. The glory departs because the head is gone. I told you the anointing comes on the head. If there's no head, there's no glory. Eli broke his neck, lost his head. Yes, the glory departed. Because the glory only falls on a clear head. So if I was the devil, I'd do everything I could. So if I was the devil, I'd do everything I could to keep your head foggy. To keep your mind all tied up, to keep your emotions governing your head to the point that you can't even think a clear thought. Because, oh, now my cup runs over. My cup can't run over if my head isn't anointed with oil. My cup is only catching the residue of what my head got first. That's so good, I'm gonna buy this CD myself. Every movement needs a leader. Without a leader, it will not. Without a leader, it will not work. In the last few years, we've seen all kind of political groups get up, get thousands and thousands of people staying in tents and huts, boycotting, picketing. I knew when they did it, all the different groups that tried it, it never worked. You know why it never worked? Didn't have a head. Anything that don't have a head won't last. The press kept saying, who's ahead? Who's in charge? We don't know. We just doing it. It's a great body, but no head. I've been pastoring. I've been in ministry 38 years. And in 38 years, you work with doctors all the time. You're in hospitals with families who are losing loved ones all the time. And one of the things I've learned, they can say the kidneys are shutting down. They can do dialysis. They can say the heart is shutting down. They can do a heart transplant. They can talk about all kinds of things. They can do it. They can give you new knees right now. They can even do something. They can put an eye in your head. They can do all kinds of stuff. That's wonderful. But when they say that the patient is brain dead, when they say that we tested the brain and the brain is not sending out any signals, though the heart is still beating, the heart is still beating, the heart is still beating, the lungs are still taking in air, and the people are still saying, oh, daddy's still here. No, he's not. Because when the head is gone, I don't care how much the heart pumps, I don't care how much the lungs breathe. When the head is gone, though the body is still warm, though the hands still twitch, when the head is gone, y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. Glory to God. I'm trying to show you your life. You might be getting a heartbeat. Your hand might be twitching. But until you get some government over your life, you are brain dead. And when the brain is dead, the heart can't help you. I said, when the brain is dead, the heart cannot help you. When the brain is dead, the heart cannot. There are people who are brain dead who had a healthy heart, and they still died. Because the heart cannot save the brain. But the brain can save the heart. The reason we got heart transplants today is because the brain saved the heart. And in your own life, If you put on the helmet of salvation, your brain could save your heart, and you wouldn't be looking for somebody to save you. You could save yourself. You wouldn't be waiting on somebody to discover you. You wouldn't be waiting for Prince Charming to find you. You could be your own Prince Charming if you could get your head back. The horse is controlled by his head. They put a bit in his mouth, and the whole horse is controlled. A 90-pound woman can control a 500-pound horse if she gets him by the head. She can climb on top of him, 90 pounds soaking wet, and she can win the race because once she gets, and she can win the race because once she gets control of his head, she can control the whole horse. Oh! If she gets a bit in his mouth, she can say, go right, and he'll go right. Go left, and he'll go left. Why is he obeying something that's smaller than him? Because she's got him by the head. Whoever gets your head, got you. And even though they may be smaller or weaker than you, if they get you by the head, they can make you make crazy decisions, make you go places you wouldn't go, make you say things you wouldn't say, make you do things you wouldn't do, because they're controlling it by the head. Put on the helmet of salvation, because the devil wants to get you by the head. Who am I preaching to this morning? Somebody just reach up and say, give me my head back. That's what be sober. That's what be sober. Be vigilant. That's what sober means. Because when you drink, you get intoxicated. When you get intoxicated, you lose your head. So when the Bible says be sober, it's saying hold on to your head. Don't let the situation or the circumstances intoxicate you. See, you don't have to drink liquor to be drunk. You can be drunk with anger. You can be drunk with grief. The Bible says be sober. It's not just talking about liquor. You can be drunk with pride. Have you ever met somebody drunk with pride? They couldn't even see the obvious because their pride had so intoxicated them that they're inebriated, making dumb decisions because they are drunk. Be sober means get your head back. John the Baptist is preaching out in the wilderness. He's different from his daddy. His daddy was a church preacher. Preached in the synagogues. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. His daddy dressed in priestly clothes. John the Baptist dressed in camel hair. Ate wild locusts and honey. But he was preaching more effectively in the wilderness than his father had ministered in the temple. He was doing real good. And then he says something. He says, I must decrease that he might increase. He said, there's going to be a shift. And when the shift comes, I must decrease that he might increase. When did the shift come? When they cut his head. The cutting of the head is the shifting of government. Do you hear what I'm saying? Good God of mercy. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you this morning? There is a shift going on in your life, and it starts with your head. 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 The slave masters knew it. You can teach the slaves how to do anything but read. Why was reading forbidden? Because if you got it in your head, you could get it in your life. They said, our change cannot hold an informed head. So whatever you do, don't teach them to read. Because when you read, you escape in your head. When you read, you learn that there's Paris and Germany and France and Australia. You learn about Saigon and you learn about Italy and you learn about government and you learn about power. What happens? Your mind gets out. When your mind gets out, we can't hold your body long. When your mind gets out, when your head comes out, it won't be long until everything begins to shift. Touch your neighbor and tell them, I feel a shift. My head has gone places that my body hasn't gone yet. My head has moved into another dimension. I can tell my head has moved. Because what used to be funny ain't funny no more. And what used to make me happy don't make me happy anymore. I look at the folk I used to run with and say, Lord, what was I thinking? Am I talking to somebody this morning? If I'm preaching to you, take some time and give God a praise this morning. Touch seven people and tell them, I got my head back. I got my head. I got my head back. 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 By God, I feel some of my head back. I got my head back. By God, I feel this word this morning. I said, can I teach this word this morning? Somebody's going through a metamorphosis while I'm getting the word. Chains are falling off of you right now. While I'm teaching the word, yokes are being destroyed. While I'm teaching the word, Satan is backing up. While I'm preaching the word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall... Sit down, I'm not through yet. Sit down, I'm not through yet. So they took Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the head of the Jews? And Jesus said, thou sayest. So they said, put a sign up and call him the king of the Jews. They tried to get Pilate to take it back. He said, what I have spoken, I have spoken. This carpenter, so they took the head of the Jews and they took him to the head of a mountain. And the mountain was called Golgotha. And when they called it Golgotha, Golgotha means stone. So they brought the head to a head. Touch your neighbor and say, there's about to be a shift. There's about to be a shift. Whenever heads get together, there will be a shift. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He gave his life. For me he died. That's love. But he told the disciples, he said, I got to go away. Don't preach yet. Go to Jerusalem. Because the head has gone up in a cloud. And the body was left looking up. And the angel said to the body, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing at this head? For this same head that you see ascend shall descend in like manner. And the book said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were in one place with one accord, here comes the shift. Shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off and tell them, I'm getting it back. I'm getting it back. I had to wait on it. I had to turn for it. I had to fast for it. I had to pray for it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall. Slap somebody and tell them it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. Devil, you should have killed me when you had the chance. But I'm getting my hand. Oh, I'm getting my hand. I dare you to praise him. I dare you to praise him. I dare you to pray then. I double dare you to give. A confession, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So everything that's been going wrong in your life, shake somebody by the hand and confess it's well, confess it's right, confess I'm free, confess I'm whole, confess I'm delivered. I feel a shout. I feel a praise. I feel a victory. I feel a dance. I feel a rejoicing. I feel a celebration. Oh, oh, oh. For the next 30 seconds, we're going to go into a rest. For the next 30 seconds, we're going to go into a restoration praise. And everything that you lost is coming back in the praise. Give God a praise. Who is?
He anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. Lay hands on him and say, my cup runneth over. Run over, run over, run over, run over, run over, run over. Run over, run over, run over, run over, run over. Press down, shaking together, running over. Still don't get it. The Bible said, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. The more you praise him, the more you acknowledge him, the more God will direct your path. Let everything that hath breath.
One more thing I want to tell you, and I want you to hear me good. When the devil got ready to destroy the family, he went for the head. Because if he got the head, if he got the man, the woman would be uncovered. If he got the head, the woman would be uncovered. She would work herself to death trying to cover what she wouldn't have had to do had he been there. She would have to go out and get the bacon and come home and fry the bacon and then stand up and serve the bacon and clean up after the bacon. She would have to be the mother and the father. Because she is uncovered. The devil wants the head because a headless house creates a hurting daughter who is attracted to a man but has never lived with a man. So she marries something she doesn't understand. in all thy getting, get an understanding. An understanding is the truth you stand under. But she's never been under anything. So she marries something she doesn't stand under. And it doesn't stay together because she doesn't stand under. And the boy would be without a guide, stumbling through life, trying to be what he never did see, making up his lines while he goes. Because whenever the enemy wants to destroy the unit, he always goes after the head. Now, the head of the body is Christ. He is the head of the church. The head of the family, according to scriptures, is the man. In the scriptures, is the man. Look at the headless families. But wonder how much further you'd be. Wonder where your retirement would look like, what your benefits would look like. You dress nice, you look good, you smell good, pretty hair. You put your money where your emotions are for the future. You have a style for your hair, but no strategy for the future, because it is a headless plan with heart-filled decisions about money. You never become what you would have been because you spend out of your heart and not out of your head. And you have nothing to stand under. In all thy getting, get an understanding. In all thy getting, stand under something. How can I stand under what I never saw? How can I be a man when I've never seen one? Not in the house, not solving problems, not expressing anger or rage. So I learned to express emotions the way mama did. So if mama got mad and threw her hands on her hips, when I get mad, I put my hands on my hips. I am shaped after the models I saw. And so we have a lot of people lost and hurting. They've been the best they could be with no head to see. They figured it out the best they could. They made the choices they could with limited information. We all have the same emotions, but we don't express them the same way. We all have the same feelings, but we don't yield to them the same way. The absence of a man destroys the other option of how we react. So all we have is mama's reaction. So everybody in the house is standing under mama's reaction. Let me stop. It's in most of our families, it's not WWJD. It's not what would Jesus do. It's really what would mama do. Ooh, they got quiet on me, Lord. So what do we do if we, when life has decapitated us? Decapitated us. You describe it, preacher, you explained it, but what do I do? I can't make daddy come back. And there are some daddies I don't want to come back. Yeah. God said, you decapitated, you lost your head. No fault of your own. Just wasn't there. Sickness, death, life, craziness, gone. Nobody lean on. You had to do the best you could with what you had. You had to make the best out of a bad situation. God says, I will be your husband. God says, he literally says, he says, I will be your husband. He says, if you start acknowledging me, not in some of your ways, not just your church ways, in some of your ways, not just your church ways, but in all of your ways, he said, I will direct your path. Okay, Lord, one more thing. Can I give you one more thing? Lord, look at how many years I lost. Before I was exposed to teaching like this, look at how much time I lost and the dumb decisions I made, the cars I lost, the house I bought I couldn't pay for, the job I took I wish I hadn't taken, the kids I had that I couldn't hardly feed. I got myself in some stuff that I'm still trying to straighten out. But look at, I lost 30 years of my life, Lord. I'm glad I'm saved now, but I lost my youth. I lost my energy. I lost my effervescence. I lost. God said, I will restore unto you years. Most people quote it and they say the things, but God said, I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust ate up. I'll restore it. I'll do with you what I did with Jonah. I'll let you do 3 days' journey in one. I'll make your latter day your greatest day. I will renew you while you are yet moving. I tell you how much of a husband I'll be. I'll get in front of you and open doors for you. And all you got to do, brother, I know you are 52 years old, but you can climb up in my lap and say, Daddy, what do I need to do about this? Daddy, I'm so worried. I don't know what to do. And he said, because I am your father. You can tell me anything. Anything. I will guide you to places you have never been. I will give you houses that you didn't build. That's more than real estate. That means I will give you stuff in an expedited fashion. I will take away the building years and give you the results. I will give you vineyards that you didn't grow. I'll give you stuff that somebody who came from your background shouldn't be able to have. I will give you double for your trouble. I will heal your land. I will set you free. I will bless you so that your life won't make sense. I will bless you so good that you can't even tell your testimony, because nobody would believe that a little boy that came from what you came from would end up where you got. I will bless you beyond your circumstances and beyond your situation. I will bless you so good that you'll have to grow older before you look back and realize good that you'll have to grow older before you look back and realize how blessed you were in spite of what you didn't get. God said it. And so this Sunday morning, everybody's standing. So this Sunday morning, as I close this message, the Lord said to tell you, this ain't no time to lose your head. Everywhere I looked this morning was confirmation. I walked in one room, they was talking about decapitating. I went in the other room, and there was a woman telling another lady, you can negotiate and win when you take your emotions out of the negotiation. Everywhere I turned, God was saying, don't lose your head. If you lose your head, you're going to lose the deal. There's nothing worse than doing business with somebody who's emotional. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. You crying and falling apart, and the problem is you're late. You're late. No need to cry. Don't be late. The problem is, in order to do this deal, I need this, this, this. Now you're crying. In order to do this deal, I need this, this, this. Now your crying is not going to get this deal. All it's going to do is you're going to go into a language that I don't stand under. And you're going to turn me off and lose the deal because you're speaking in tongues. When you're speaking in emotions and I'm speaking in business. I don't know who this is for, but you're on the verge of a great blessing. Listen, listen. In order to bring it in, you're going to have to be sober. You want to redeem the years you lost out of your life? Stop following your emotions. Go at it head first. And God said, I will give you back the time you lost. I will restore from the mistakes you made. I will do a new thing in you in the form of mistakes you made. I will do a new thing in you and the former things will pass away. When you stop sniffling and whimpering and crying and having tantrums and schizophrenia and be sober and get a grip on yourself, God said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pull you out of blessing. You won't even have room enough to receive. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of the hardest people to get to do this are people who are artsy. Because discipline. And your God is a God of structure. Your God is a God of process. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Your God is a God of order. I'm going to do it like this. My all will only fall on your head. Your head. The devil is after your mind. Yes, sir. This is what he told me to do. He said, I want you to pray for people's minds that are shot up and battered and bruised. Some of them are shot and bruised by abuse, molestations, rapes, bondages, secret scars, hidden sins have bruised secret scars. Hidden sins have bruised you and distorted the way you think because you cannot think beyond what happened. And some are having a model to shape your life after. You just did the best you could with what you had, but you're trying to be what you didn't see. And you know you're falling short, but you've never been able to fix it. And everything you can't fix, you fake. And the stress of being a fake is wearing you out. I could fake being a woman right now. I could put on heels and a dress. I could put on heels and a dress. But I couldn't fake it long. But fake what you are not. It is painful to fake what you are not. The Holy Spirit is after something this morning. It's cold and raining, and you know how Dallas folks are when it rains. They act like it's a blizzard and all that kind of stuff. To those who pressed your way, Shadaki Shudobu, Shidiki Shadabaki Shi, La bakunde de osiata. You see. La bakunde de osiata. Oh, excuse me, I just feel glory. To those whose minds have been up under attack, to those who have been wrestling in your sleep, to those who have had to deal with all kinds of stuff and press it down and fake smiles and rise above it, and you haven't been able to have your mind clear for God to anoint, rush this altar now. Rush this altar. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to plead. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to want it bad. You're going to want it bad enough to get out of your seat. You're going to have to want it bad enough to come out of the balcony. I'm not going to beg and plead. You're going to have to want it bad enough. Up your camera. I want you to come down to this altar because you are ready to get your head back. I want my head back. I want my head back. I'm tired of being drunk with grief and pain and frustration and bondage. I'm tired of going around in circles. I'm wasting life. Look at me. I'm 30 years old. Old and 40 years old. I should be further. I should have had more. I'm 50 years old. My life is bruised. My mind is bruised. I need something over my head. This is no time to lose my head. I've got to be smarter than I've ever been in my life. I've never seen it done. Some of you, the reason you come to church is so you can get a picture of somebody that's building and moving. That's what inspires you more than anything else, because you've never seen leadership. Leadership. You've been headless. You've been headless. Your heart is pumping. Your hands are flinching. But your brain is dead. But God is there. God is going to heal shit. God is going to restore you. God is going to restore you. God is going to restore you. You're going to be so glad to restore you. You're going to be so glad you came this morning. You're going to be so glad you came this morning. You're going to be. It's raining anointing in this place. The glory of El Shaddai. The glory of the Lord is about to fill this temple. Hey, Shandabako Shaddai. The glory of the Lord is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Why do you think God brought you to Dallas? Why do you think God brought you here this Sunday morning? This is the Sunday that the yoke is destroyed, that the curses are broken over your life and over your family and over your children. God said, I will do a new thing in you. The glory of the Lord. You've been uncovered most of your life. You've been uncovered all most of your life. You've been exposed most of your life. The reason you've been attacked so many times is nobody covered you. Nobody swallowed you. Nobody protected you. But God is going to send that covering over your life right now. The covering of the Holy Spirit is coming over your life right now. You're watching over the internet. You need to get in on this glory as best you can. The covering of the Lord is coming over your life. The covering of the Lord is coming over your life. The covering of the Lord is coming over your life. Glory to God. This is no time to lose your head. This is no time to quit. This is no time to faint. This is no time to collapse. This is no time to give in. I hear God saying, I'm restoring it. Open your mouth to him. 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 God said, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore you. I'm not going to let you go home broken. I'm not going to let you go home hurting. I'm not going to let you go on exposed. God said, I'm going to anoint your head with oil. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to do it on your own. You've compassed about this mountain long enough. You've made the same silly mistakes over and over and over again. Give God the wheel. 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 The anointing is coming. The anointing of the Lord God be upon you. The anointing of the Lord God be upon you. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, the anointing of the Lord be upon you. Lord, we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. We've come into this house this morning to be filled, to be fed, to be covered, to be set free. We've been walking naked. We've been walking exposed. We've been walking decapitated. We've been walking beheaded. But right now, we make you Lord. We make you king over our life. You are the king. You are the head. You are the king. You are the head. You are my government. You are my leader. You are my God. Father, anoint this head with oil. Anoint it with oil. Anoint every daddy. Anoint every father. Anoint every husband. Anoint every man, every son. Anoint every daughter. Every daughter in Zion. Every daughter that's ever been exposed, ever been hurt, ever been raped, ever been abused, ever been traumatized. Cover her. Cover that woman. Cover that woman. Cover her business. Cover her emotions. Cover that woman. Cover her business. Cover her emotions. Cover her mind. I thank you, God, for the anointing that is falling in this place. Lift your hand and open your mouth. Open your mouth. Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. You don't have to walk around hurting. You don't have to walk around in tears. I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's a glory falling. God is rolling back the clouds, rolling back the darkness, rolling back the night. I want you to reach out and touch somebody next to you. Leave no one untouched. God's going to give you a strategy. You will have to write it down. You will have to read it every day. You will have to read it every day. This is my destiny. This is my mission statement. This is my destiny. This is my mission statement. This is my focus. This is my purpose. This is my goal. Yes, Lord. The Lord told me to tell you there's a reason you went through what you went through. He said he's going to give you beauty for ashes. He said he's going to take what was working against you and make it work for you. He's going to turn your strength into power. The anointing is falling. The person you're touching is being healed. They're being healed in your hands. You will weep no longer for who didn't love you, who didn't raise you, who didn't teach you, who didn't prefer you. Your wailing will end. Your rejoicing shall begin. God is healing right now. The anointing is moving. Let it flow. I break every curse. I break every curse. All in the aisle, all up the stairs, all the way to the back, curses are being broken. All over the internet, curses are being broken. I'm speaking to somebody in another country. I can't even see what country. Curses are being broken over your life. The anointing! A first-time viewer is being healed by the power of God. God said, I am the Lord. Let him heal you. Open your heart up. Open it up. Now God's going to give you a strategy. He's going to set you on a street called straight. He's going to order your steps. He's going to lead you in a plain path. because of your enemies. You got a lot of haters that don't want you to receive this. But God's going to be speaking in your spirit words of correction, words of direction, words of restoration. And you're going to feel your confidence coming back. You're going to feel that head resting on your shoulders. I want you to grab one person, throw your arms around them, and rejoice. Don't pray for them, just rejoice for what God is about to do in their life. The darkness is over. Clap your hands and praise Him, everybody. Sunday morning, right where you are. Some of you, it's your custom anyway, but you're going to do it with a new passion. When we bring gifts to God, when we sow seeds into the kingdom, it is your acknowledging Him in all thy ways. Come into my business, come into my financial decisions. Come into my life in every area of my life. You're watching over the internet. We're getting ready to acknowledge Him through our tithes, through our offerings. I want you to sow a sacrificial seed this morning. For somebody, sacrifice is $50. For somebody, it's $1,000. For somebody, it's $10,000. I don't know what a sacrificial seed is, but I know that you need to acknowledge what God did in this service. In a tangible way, not to me, to Him. Hold it just a second. I can't hardly do anything because God is talking to me. God just said to me, he said, tell them that it's over when you say it's over. He said, this shatai. He said, when I was on the cross and I said, it is finished, it was finished. He said, tell my people it's over when you say it's over. When I hear you confess out of your mouth that your pain and your bondage and your doubt and your fear, it is finished, it is over. And the Teshetekyo, Shadabako, Shadai, Eteko, Shadaba. And the Lord said there's going to be a benediction on the torments that has tormented your life. And I want you to stand up on your feet and say, it is finished. Say it again. It is finished. I got my head back. 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 Come on. I got my head back. Come on. I got my head back. 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 I got my head. 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 Oh, I got my head back.
I got my head.
I got my head.
I got my head.
I got my
head.
I got my
head.
I got my
head.
I got my
head.
I got my
head.
I got my
head.
I got my head. I got my head. I got my head.
I got my head.
I got my head.
I got my head.
I got my head. I can't hear y'all.
I got my head.
What?
I got my head.
What?
I got my head.
What?
I got my head.
What you get? What you get?
You get my head.
What did you get? What did you get? Whether you're watching over the internet right now, whether you're in this sanctuary, this service cannot end. It must not end without you acknowledging him out of your stuff, out of your substance, out of your bounty, out of your spoils. This is personal. We can sing for you. We can preach to you, but we can't sacrifice for you. Acknowledge him. This is a personal acknowledgement between you and God. I got my head back. 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 I feel the anointing in this place. Receive the offering. I'm not even going to pray over it. But while you're sowing it on the internet, while we're sowing it in this church, while they're giving it in the balcony and in the choir stand and in the back, all we're going to say, I got my head back. I got my, serve the people of God. I got my head back. I got my, serve the people of God. I got a gamma. What you get? I know we gotta go. If you'd like to be a member of our church, come to my left. The doors of this church are open. To those of you that don't know what the wheelbarrow is about, that's our building fund. That's how we're gonna tear that other building down. Give God a praise. I got my head back. There's somebody in this church, you've been without covering, without pastoral covering. You need to get your head back this morning. Yeah. Bless you, man.